I think it's a very interesting time because I think we have more answers than we ever had. We have more solutions than we ever had. The objective is not to change the balance between countries. The objective is to make implementation more efficient.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Multilateralism Unpacked, the podcast of the United Nations University's Center for Policy Research. I'm David Passarelli, Director of UNUCPR. At last year's G20 summit in Rio de Janeiro, President Lula of Brazil called for stronger climate governance and argued that negotiating new commitments was pointless without mechanisms to accelerate implementation of the Paris Agreement. Frustrated with the implementation of global climate commitments, he proposed the creation of a UN Climate Change Council. He also launched a task force for global mobilization against climate change. President Lula noted that COP30 will be our last chance to avoid an irreversible rupture in the climate system, and dubbed the international meeting the Turnaround COP. As Brazil prepares to host COP30 in Belém later this year, calls are multiplying for a global mobilization to bring about more ambitious climate governance. UNUCPR recently hosted the COP30 president, Ambassador André Correa do Lago, a veteran climate diplomat, for a global expert workshop to reflect on enduring gaps in the climate architecture, possible institutional upgrades and governance innovations, as well as systems-level responses that could be championed at the United Nations over the coming years. As of this taping, Ambassador Correa do Lago has issued three letters from the presidency, emphasizing three core messages. Reinforce multilateralism and the climate change regime under the UNFCCC, connect the climate regime to people's real lives, and accelerate the implementation of the Paris Agreement by stimulating action and structural adjustments across all institutions that can contribute to it. I spoke to Ambassador Correa do Lago about the challenges facing climate diplomacy, Brazil's priorities for the COP30, and the need to broaden support for this agenda. Our conversation also touched on the importance of partnering with academia and what the COP30 president calls a global mutirao, a mobilization against climate change. Here's our interview. We're delighted to welcome Ambassador André Correa do Lago, president of COP30, with us for a workshop focusing on his presidency and the opportunity of the COP30 presidency this year. Welcome, André, to New York.
Thank you so much. It's great to see you again.
André, it's a challenging moment for climate diplomacy. Some have called this the most challenging year yet for climate diplomacy. What do you see as the major headwinds in this field?
Well, in fact, there are many, but I believe that there's an evolution in the difficulties surrounding the climate agenda. I think that for a certain time, there was the allegation that there was lack of information, then the doubts about science. I think that now the great challenge are the doubts about the economic case for mitigation. And curiously, it is happening at the same time that there is a stronger case for adaptation. So I think it's a very interesting time because I think we have more answers than we ever had. We have more solutions than we ever had, and they make economic sense. But at the same time, maybe because of a certain fatigue regarding the threats of climate change, the fact is that we talk less about it.
Interesting that you mention a fatigue. In your first message as COP30 president, you call for a movement of movements to energize the agenda, to focus on implementation. What do you mean by a movement of movements?
Well, because to bring people again to this agenda, you need to have more allies. And there are many allies that were natural allies, but they were not being used because there was a certain movement that was happening. You know? So I believe that we have to reach for these new allies. And that's why also we have to bring people that sometimes feel that they cannot make the difference, but in fact they can make the difference. So it's not about only heads of states, it's not only about very powerful or very rich corporations. It's about everybody. Everybody can contribute to that. And I believe that this movement of movements can happen also if we use intelligently the new technologies. I'm afraid that the new technologies are being used more brightly by the other side. Mm-hmm. So we have to be brighter than them.
And we have several months to adapt, to adopt new strategies, new innovative approaches to mobilize these alliances, as you say. What do you hope as an international community of academics, civil society, how do you hope that we can support your agenda and your priorities as COP30 president?
I think we need new arguments. I think the scientific argument is very clear. I think the political division is also very clear. But I think that the economic opportunities are not so clear. And the fact that you can create jobs, that you can make people's life better, and that you're not going to threaten the essentials of some kind of ideal of the middle class. Mm-hmm. And I understand very well, I mean, we are talking mostly about an emerging middle class in countries where the fight against poverty has been very successful. And these people are extremely frustrated that once they made it to another level of quality of life, then they have again to question what they are doing. So I think we end up not avoiding the word narrative, but it's much more than a narrative. It is really something that I believe that the word movement is more appropriate, is that you can feel that people are giving new arguments, giving new strength to the logic of fighting climate change.
This focus on the local, on people's ambitions, their aspirations, has been a common theme in your messages since you've taken the presidency, and a very welcome message. Mm. At the higher level of governance, when we look at the governance architecture in climate, do you see need for improvements or retooling of the governance itself?
Well, we do. We do because we believe that governance for, in general, multilateralism was designed for another world. Now, we are always talking about reforming the Security Council, reforming the UN Charter. There are always those big calls because we think that this was made in 1945, or you have to reform the UNFCCC because it was made in 92 and things have changed. But there are some things that have changed in such a way that we sometimes forget that we need new instruments. So when we agree on texts and we agree on important things under the UNFCCC and the Paris Accord, you have to think how you're going to act, how you're going to really implement what you decided. And it's very hard for the logic of multilateralism today to incorporate some very important new tools that we need to be able to analyze correctly what we can do. So that is why I believe it's not about, you know, some countries were developing and now they are not developing anymore. I think it's a much deeper concern. But at the same time, the objective is not to change the balance between countries. The objective is to make implementation more efficient. And I think that we can do enormous progress. And we have to do it as quickly as possible, since science tells us that we have a climate urgency and we don't have much time to do it.
And we're delighted you're with us today to talk about how complexity theory and complexity science can aid in this agenda and this aspiration. Just one final question. Looking to Belém at the end of the year, what do you hope might be one outcome or one legacy of your presidency as we move through the year?
I think it is to revert this downward tendency that we have when we think about climate, not in the sense that we have to talk about it, but we have to talk about it because it's a good opportunity. We have to talk about it because we cannot miss a train that is passing slowly close to so many people, and these people can miss an opportunity that can mean simply their quality of life and the relevance of countries also. So I think it is mostly understand the circumstances. I think that is very important to explain what we are living in and to show the alternatives and to show that it's worth understanding it better, accept its complexity, and use the tools that have appeared in recent years to fight it.
And we are about to begin a workshop to try to support this effort. Absolutely. It's an important year, lots of ambitions, lots of work to be done between now and Belém. Thank you so much for taking the time to be meeting with us today.
It's a pleasure. It's a really great to see you again and to be able to be working together on this. I believe that you are the first to have understood how important it would be to incorporate these new elements.
Well, we thank you for your trust and look forward to working with you throughout the year. Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.